Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, April 27, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, we have Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time here in the Start Meeting Room. This week's study is going to be on Not Forsaking the Assembling. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading. Tonight we're going to be reading on 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions? Well, I guess before we ask if there are any questions here, I just want to make an announcement, a note. We did send out an email concerning this. I think it was over the weekend. Excuse me. I spoke with Sheriff Darr a few days ago, and you know, he was—he's got some things going on. We were talking about potentially him coming back on again to have another meeting with him. So sometime in the next couple of weeks, we'll put out the word when that's going to happen. We don't know exactly yet. I'll probably give him a call and talk with him maybe by the end of the week, and we'll set some kind of date. But if anybody has any questions for Sheriff Darr, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and put in the subject matter, put in Q for Sheriff, or Q for Sheriff Darr, and we'll put those questions aside so that we can ask him questions. I'll talk with him about what the subject matter might be specifically, and we'll make that announcement also when that comes about, so we'll see what happens. Okay, Jan, do we have any other announcements, or do we have any questions tonight? I think we have quite a few questions. Jan, you there? We're not hearing you. You should try to do a mic check also earlier in the evening. I know you have been a lot of problems with your mic. You're unmuted now, but I'm not hearing you. We got you unmuted.
Well, that explains why you didn't hear me earlier, or I had to fix my mic problem. I understand. I should have talked to him.
All right, well, we'll give him another minute. So you don't know what any question for you, Terry?
I saw one of them.
Well, I think we had quite a few, but we also...
Yeah, I'm looking now. It takes a second to set it up, and that...
Yeah, we also, I know we had some questions for Sheriff Darr already, and Jan will be putting them aside for when he comes to visit us.
Okay, we had two that I can tell. Possibly.
Also, someone sent a question in, I think, on mail, because when we didn't have that email questions going again, we would use in mail. But I think there's something on mail also, mail at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay.
But whatever you got. By the way, the queue is open for anybody who wants to get in. Star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone. Should be a button there if you're on Apple browser. I think I just heard Jan. Go ahead.
How about now?
Yeah.
Okay, success at last.
We should do a mic check with you too earlier in the program.
It probably wouldn't do any good, John. It's kind of a random phenomenon put on by the auspices of Windows 11. You never know where it's going to go and when it's going to come back.
Have you thought about moving back over to Windows 10?
I never had 10, but I have purchased the rights to and the USB memory with the Windows 10 on it.
All right. Well, if you do need it, let me know. I can send you a copy. We'll work something out. I can put it right onto a hard drive, and all you have to do is plug the hard drive in. And the one that I would send you would be one that's set up that it's totally disconnected from Microsoft, so you know they don't come in and destroy your computer, because they will destroy your computer. And you know what happened to me when I visited, what was it? I downloaded Teams, I think it was, and they told me, destroyed my computer. Nothing on Microsoft worked unless I upgraded to 11 and then paid their monthly fee for 365 Word or whatever. I mean, I already own that stuff anyway, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but they're just evil.
Yeah, like they are. I have to agree.
Go ahead.
First question. Where is the best place to find previous court cases submitted within a state?
Well, that's a good question. I know there's easy to get onto the federal. You know, you can visit, I wonder what state, it doesn't say what state he's in, does he?
No.
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 Well, you could visit probably the court within your state, and there is a pro se office in every state that assists people that are coming in pro se. And that's a question you can ask them, and I'm sure they'll have an answer for that. I'm sure every state probably has a collection of some type of the different court cases, just like the federal courts have. So
would that be calling the clerk?
Well, that's where they start. They can call the clerk, but if they go out to the Supreme Court state or whatever they call it on their state, we call it the New York Supreme Court, and there's... I know the main office for us, or the main connection or contact here in New York, is actually down in the city. But yeah, you can even call the clerk of any county, I guess, and make the connection through them, maybe.
Okay.
So, okay, Jan.
What is the opinion from the National Liberty Alliance on the whole state national movement that's going around the country?
Okay, are you familiar with that, the whole state national movement?
I think they mean the assemblies, but I'm not sure.
I think they're talking about state nationals, aren't they?
Well, that's a different one.
Yeah, I have no clue what the question really is. I don't know whole state whatever it was. I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
Maybe they can try to send in a clarification on that. And if we get it before we finish questions, maybe we'll try to deal with it. Otherwise, we'll deal with it next week if they get back to us on that. But, all right, go ahead.
Right. Question number two. Can we add this person to the queue? To get in the queue, if you're on your cell phone, just hit a *6 and a 1. And if you're on your computer, there is a way of just clicking it to get in the queue there. And I don't have the person's email handy.
Yeah, well, they may be on tonight, so all they have to do is a *6 and a 1. If they're on a phone and... through an app or browser, you should find a button there somewhere that says enter the queue.
Right. The next person has a couple of questions about some of the civil lawsuits that are happening now with the thieves that broke into people's houses and ended up getting hurt. They are suing the owners because they got hurt during their trespassing into these owners' homes, which they ended up winning. How can we deal with that kind of nonsense, and how can we protect ourselves from these lawsuits?
Well, I'm wondering who exactly they're talking about that's breaking into the homes. You know, they're talking about the IRS, they're talking about local, I don't know who they're talking about, do you?
I would guess it's not the IRS. I would guess it's people that are breaking in your homes to steal things and do harm to you.
Well, the IRS does that. Do they not?
Yes, under different guys.
So what do you think the question is again? I'm sorry.
Well, if people, you know, break into your home and you protect yourself and then they get hurt, they might even get shot, I assume, and so then they come back and sue you, and they've been winning.
Yeah, I think about that from time to time. I live in a state that's problematic like that, too, I'm sure. I know down in the city here, being in New York, but I'm not in the city. But down the city, it's really bad. I guess it depends on the state you're in. And look, this is the reason why we're going back up to the Supreme Court again. We've been trying to get in there. We're going to work on getting back in there to give them a presentment. And we'll see how that goes. And, you know, if we can't get the presentment through, then we'll have to take it through as a regular court case, which could take us 5 months or so, roughly speaking, to get to the doorstep of the United States Supreme Court. But we should be able to get directly to them. I think we have the right people on the administrative side of things, because we're going to copy them with this presentment. That might assist in making sure that the presentment does get before the Supreme Court. You know, Trump has a lot invested in what we're doing, whether he realized it or not, because of all the problems he's had in the courts. Because we have lost our courts of law a long, long time ago. They've been gone since most of us have been alive, at least as long as I've been alive, they have been gone. You know, they have abrogated the law of the land and replaced it with civil law. And even their own laws, if it doesn't work out the way they like it, they ignore it when you apply their own laws against them. So it is a problem. We've lost liberty a long time ago, really. It's just a dream we have, and we kind of hold on to it, but they don't uphold our liberty. They don't uphold the Bill of Rights, and it's a problem, major, major problem. So I know that's what we're working on, and we've been working on that kind of thing for quite some time, but nevertheless, you know, we got to get our papers before the Supreme Court and lay out our grievances with them and make it clear how they have violated the law of the land, and they need to restore it. But we'll see what happens. All right, next.
That's the last one, John.
Okay. All right, I know there was something that came through mail. Did you see anything coming through mail?
I went back and looked through mail, John, and I didn't find a particular question.
Okay. All right. I had something to do with citizens. They wanted to know why we didn't deal with things in a certain way concerning being a U.S. citizen or a citizen or something like that. I know when I first got involved in things, trying to figure things out, I was up on the Internet and listening to a lot of people talk about these kind of things, being not being a citizen and giving up certain things and... You know, and I fell for all that stuff too, but they haven't done their homework very well, because the word citizen, both singular or plural, I think singular is used 7 times in the Constitution. Let me see if I can open this up. 7 times in the Constitution it's used. The other thing was also... very specifically not being a U.S. citizen, but we the people gave the power and the authority to legislators to establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject and on other things, of course, but to establish uniform rules for naturalization. So anybody coming into this country and wants to become a citizen... they have to go through the process set up by the legislators, by Congress. Let me take a look at this. Hang on a minute. Okay, the word citizen in the singular, let's say, or citizens. Citizen is used 4 times, and in plural is used 7 times. We read in Article 2 concerning the executive power that no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible for the office of president. So, you know, again, the word citizen is weaved throughout the Constitution. We read in Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, no person shall be a representative who shall not have attained to the age of 25 years and been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. Let me see how many other times. No person, this is Section 3, looks like Clause 3, Section 3, Clause 3, concerning the Senate. No person shall be a senator who shall not have attained up to the age of 30 years and has been 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of the state of which he shall be chosen. Let's see what else, if there's anything else. Okay, so the word citizen has been used throughout the Constitution. Our founding fathers didn't have a problem with that. I do know that there's a game played with words, but I don't know where these people get this idea that you shouldn't be a U.S. citizen. You know, if you get rid of your citizenship, you could be deported, you know. They could decide they don't like you and throw you out of the country. That's possible. You know, then of course there's that sovereign citizen thing. I'm glad to see that the Southern Poverty, the Southern Poverty Law something. Matter of fact, I was looking at that.
Southern Poverty Law Center.
Law what? Let's see.
Center.
Law Center. Okay, yeah. I started looking into that. I hadn't had time to read on some of this stuff, but we've had some problems with those people in the past. They have put out a special newsletter that they were feeding to the police departments across the entire nation, to all law enforcement, concerning sovereign citizens. I've been accused of being a sovereign citizen on a couple occasions by the FBI and even by the Treasury Department. First of all, we are sovereign. We're all sovereigns, okay? The people in power and in authority, they're sovereign too, but not in their capacity as an elected or appointed individual. Any individual that is elected or appointed has powers and authorities. They don't have sovereign powers. They have powers and authorities that we, the people, ordained and established for them. In any event, they've assaulted us. I know they've been on our program some years back, coming in and assaulting us, saying all kinds of terrible things. I did do a notice and demand with those people a while back, and then I haven't heard back from them for quite some time. I've always wanted to sue them, but just never had the time to do so. I might sue them. If I can find the time now, I'd like to sue them. The only problem, of course, is we still have courts that are not going to give us our day in court. They kick us out all the time. They just don't want to hear anything that the people have to say, and they don't want certainly don't want any of us to come in and make argument. But going back to the citizen thing, there's nothing wrong with being a citizen and being a U.S. citizen. You know, in order to become to come into this country and stay in this country and be part of this country, you have to become a citizen, and you have to go through the federal process to do that. That we, the people, ordained and established that process. They called the sovereign citizens, talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center particularly, putting out all of those magazines that they were putting out to law enforcement across the nation, that they were cop killers, okay? And of course, that's believable. And any time something like that happens out in the road, where a sovereign citizen, you know, is sort of identified someone as a sovereign citizen, whatever exactly that's supposed to mean, sometimes they go overboard with things, law enforcement does. So it's a problem, and they have been creating chaos for a long time. They are an anti-American organization. We wrote things about them, making that point in our papers that we had written concerning for the notice and demand. And we also made some notes concerning anti-American organizations that are destroying our courts and so on and so forth. They were listed among them, that group of people. There's quite a few organizations of lawyers that are destructive to who we are as a people and our way of life and our liberty. And they don't like our Constitution. It's too dangerous for them. They can't assault us and have the power, the powers that they want and that they have to some degree, when there's a Constitution and a Bill of Rights that protects the people. So, again, this is a major problem. All right, so I know that was the question, something like that. If that person's here and they want to discuss that issue, maybe they can bring some things up and we can talk about that some more. They can get into the queue, star 601 in the queue. Let me see what else I have here. Anyway, there's two people in the queue right now. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, like I said, star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone. And on an Apple browser, there should be a button. Okay, there's nothing else, Jan, right? I'm pretty sure he said there was nothing else anyway. All right, again, one more thing, just in case people came in a little late. Sheriff Darr will be here in the next couple of weeks. We don't have a date yet. I know he had an event going up. I think this week he's got an event, and we're going to talk after that event and set a date. So anybody got a questions for him, you can send it to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. In the subject matter, put Q for Sheriff Darr, and we'll go from there. All right, well, we'll take our first caller here. It's a wireless caller. It looks like calling from Connecticut. Maybe you can give us your first name. So 203 number, calling from Connecticut. What's your first name?
First name, Kim.
Kim? Okay, Kim.
No, Tim with a T. John, how are you?
Oh, Tim, how you doing, Tim? I didn't recognize your voice. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay. So, let me just, I'm in the car. I wanted to shut off something here. All right, so you remember the issue was my mother, she had she died, and then there was her property, and you remember that, issue, right?
Yep.
So now there's trouble making the payments on it, and it's five, what's that word they use? It's a re something when something hasn't, the payments are, haven't been paid for. I forgot the word they use. So, yeah, it's like 5 months.
What was that?
Sorry. So anyway, it's like 5 months or so since a payment's been made. And okay, so one thing is they sent something offering her a loan, and it was a little bit less than the payment. Like slightly less than the payment would be per month for the, after 5 months have already gone by, and general consensus is the way banks work is they would have already started the foreclosure process, right? So is there something kind of going on here? Why would they be? That's one of the questions I have. Why would you ever heard of anything about this? Like as if they're giving her a loan. They're offering her a loan to help her make the payments. Yet it's been 5 months since a payment's been made, as if they would already have gone through the start of the foreclosure process. You heard of anything like this?
What kind of equity is in the house? And are you planning on trying to keep the house and keep up with the payments, or what are you looking to do or thinking?
Yeah. Well. I guess I would, but one of the issues here is that there's trouble making the payments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, one of the things, of course, have they been notified that your mother has passed?
I told them because, but still they don't, they want all kinds of, documentation, of course, that's understandable. A person shouldn't believe on somebody's word.
Right. Well, you got a death certificate out here, right?
I have a death certificate, that's right.
How long ago did she pass?
I was avoiding putting it into the when a person submits it to the courts. I was avoiding that, so it's been a couple years now to put it into there because of the corruption, you know, when they require that to transfer to the.
Well, let me ask you, is there anything else that's in the will or that she has left behind that she's saying about, and what kind of values are you looking at? So you're talking about being in the probate court, I guess.
Okay.
And I had mentioned to try to stay away from that.
It's not in the probate court. I heeded your words. I didn't submit it into the probate court.
Right.
It's not there.
You could make
send
a letter. You should send a letter to these people. Let it be known that she has passed. How long ago was it that she passed? Did you say?
Just about 2 years ago.
So she's been gone a long time. And you're only talking about 5 months past payments?
Yeah, they're past 5 months past payments. Yep,
she hasn't paid in 2 years because she has passed away, but they're only looking for 5 months. I don't think I understand that.
The logic here is I was making payments, and then I got to a point where I was having trouble making payments. So I was the one that was making the payments up until 5 months ago.
Well, how much equity is in the house?
I would say it's, $200,000 anyway. It could be more.
You could probably try to work something out with them. I don't know whether they will work anything out with you. But you could try to work something out with them and see once whether you can work some arrangement and maybe get, maybe even work on a loan off of some of the equity. And then work from there, from that point.
I didn't understand. I could do what? Could you repeat that last part? I could do what?
If there's equity in the home,
you can
probably get a loan off of the equity, and take out whatever you think you might need. Maybe you only need $20,000 or $30,000. Put it in the bank for the sole purpose of paying payments, and you're going to want to make sure that you stop putting money in the bank to cover payments. So that you don't fall back into that. But you need to get some kind of a buffer. I hate to say this, but you might want to talk to a lawyer about this. Remember, you're not going to court with the lawyer. You're not asking the lawyer to go to a court. You're not looking for a court that's dealing with a criminal case or really just like a civil case, but this is kind of civil anyway. But it's more real estate and foreclosure. So talking with a lawyer just to get advice, you don't have to necessarily hire them, and what you think, what kind of a structure you would try to put together and how you would approach getting a loan on the equity. Since you've been paying some of the payments, then has the home been transferred into your name?
I talked to them about that. There was a guy that was he offered to buy the property, and when I called the bank, and that's when I let them know that she had died, they told me that I had to certain various, documentation I had to submit to them. And one of those was the result, would be the result in documentation after having it. It would have passed through the probate. Is it called what's that called? Probate court?
It's called the probate court.
That's their requirement. They won't even talk to me about the account. I told them I'm her son and everything.
Yeah, they've set everything together, so you got to go through their system so that they can suck up as much money as they can off of you, because that's what they do. But if there's nothing else that is in question concerning, whatever your mother has left behind, if the house is the only issue, it may not be a problem in the probate court because there's no money in it for them other than to steal a home. There's no reason for them to get involved in that. Again, I think you're going to want to talk with a lawyer concerning this kind of a thing, just to get some advice. Pay a lawyer an hour's fee to come and talk, make your notes that the questions you're going to have for him or her, and basically, you want to know how you can go about switch things around, how to potentially get an equity loan off of the home, and make a plan, a financial plan, put that money into the bank, not to touch it, use it to pay payments, and you start paying payments into your bank account where you're taking them payments out, so that you want to kind of maintain the money on the one hand and you know, work yourself into a position, or sell the house, get out from it.
I can't, but they won't sell the house.
Well, that's
remember,
that's why you want to go talk to. I hate to tell you to go talk to a lawyer, but that's what you're going to have to do. You know, you have to talk to a lawyer that has the experience.
I talked to some, at least a couple of them, and they all say the same thing. There was even the guy that was going to buy the place. He has a daughter. She's a paralegal. And they all say the same thing, that it has to go through the probate court before that they could be sold, and before the bank wouldn't talk to me about the account, before me submitting proof that it had gone through the probate court, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but is there a will?
There's a will, yeah, will. I'm her only son, and she, the will says everything goes to me.
Okay, well, you know, I don't know that you're going to run into too many problems. They have set things up that they want what's going on. They want to see if they can suck somebody out of this whole thing to steal the estate, because that's what they do. But if there's nothing else left and it's only the house, and it's only the house procedure, process to go through. And by the way, I'm leaking through someone else. Your speaker?
I'm in my car. It is going through the audio system of the car. I'm on the phone.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I'm getting some feedback. But anyway, that's what I would do. Take it to the probate. And tell them that, show them the papers. And that you want to work something out with us, and you need to go through that process.
Oh, so go ahead and try it now.
I don't think you have a choice. Again, they have set things up in such a way that forces you in there, and then once you force the probate, you can run some serious problems. Because something else, just boom and question. I don't see how the lawyer is going to try work things out to rob whatever the estate
was. I don't know. You're breaking up here. Just if it would be okay, let me step outside of the car. If you give me a few seconds here.
Sure. Okay, are we off speaker now? You still there, Tim? By the way, while we're waiting for Tim to get back on.
Okay, I can hear you now. Okay, go ahead. Sorry about the kind of... Go ahead.
All right. But before we get back into that, let me just say that if anybody else wants to get into the queue, there's only one other person in the queue after Tim. It's a *6-1 if you're on a phone, and there should be a button if you're on a mic or if you're on an app or a browser. Okay, if there's nothing else other than the home,
okay,
and the home still has payments to be made on it, how much is left to pay off the house? Do you know?
$70,000.
Okay, and you think there's about $200,000 in equity, so it's $270,000, roughly speaking, is probably the value, roughly.
If it was sold on the market, it's a condominium. It would be at least a $300,000 condominium, or maybe more.
Have you considered selling it? Do you want to sell it?
But like I told you, the bank wouldn't do anything.
I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is this: if you've got a real estate, it's got equity in it,
okay,
but money is still owed on it. There's nothing else in the estate other than the house. It's clearly been left to you. So I would think it's a matter of procedure to just go into the court and have it dealt with. I don't see how the judge, again, I'm telling you, anybody with an estate, once they bring it into the courts, all of a sudden they start to play the games. Next thing you know, they're appointing a lawyer, and they're spending your money left and right, and before you know it, you know, you don't have anything left, because that's what they do. The whole thing is a sham. But since there's nothing really for them to eat up, because there's no money laying around that they can draw off of, it might be something that will go right through the process very simply. Now, if you run into a problem, well, again, you're going to have some background and understanding of due process in order to make an argument, and that takes time to learn. Everybody should know due process and take care of their own business if they should have a problem. And we do teach that on our website here under Education Starts Here. You can get into our course. It's called Court Access in the Common Law, and it'll teach you due process, how to go into the courts and write papers and so on, and how the forms work, and discovery and due process in, as a whole. But in any event, in your case, I don't think there's really anything that they can really, you know, steal from you, because there's nothing for them to draw off of. You know, they can't go out and take a loan out on the equity and start sucking the money. And then, of course, you know, they have to make the you know, the reasoning why. So I don't think you have much of a choice. Go into the probate court, tell them what you want to do, and meanwhile, you should put it out onto the market while you're doing that. And you should notify the, you know, the bank on what you're doing. You know, whoever put the loan out, you want to notify them, and let it be known that you're going through the probate process, and you're looking to potentially sell it. Then also there's that possibility of taking an equity loan out on it once you get the paperwork straightened up. I got to believe it shouldn't take any more than 30 to 60 days to go through that process.
There's a possibility of what, did you say? A possibility of?
I'm not sure I said anything about a possibility. I don't think it's going to take more than 30 to 60 days to go through that process. That's what I said.
Okay.
And I would think it'd be rather quick. I would think it could be really just a matter of paperwork going through there, because again, there's nothing for them to steal from you. You know, if you had $1 million, boy, that's a problem. You know.
Okay.
All right. Well, let me know how you work out on that. Anything else?
Okay. Yeah. So I, just the curiosity, I was asking you initially. Did it seem? It seemed curious to me. If you have anything comes to mind, no payments for 5 months, and then I see recently they sent her something in the mail offering her a loan connected to the mortgage, as if they're going to try to help her make payments. But a bank would have already tried to start foreclosing by that time, right? As if maybe the banks are having troubles now, like we're close to some kind of a collapse, or they're already, what do you think?
Well, I think because she has passed away, it puts them into kind of a tight spot, and they have to go through some, and I don't know what it would be. I don't have any knowledge in that area, but I think they have to go through some hoops to deal with that, and they can't just come out and take it. Maybe a little harder for them to do that. So again, you might want to contact those individuals that are sending that kind of a letter, and let it be known that your mother has passed and you're in the process through the probate. Don't get into details and discussions on how long it's been or anything like that, but just that you're going through the probate and that you might be interested in doing something like that once you get the property moved over into your name. So that's what you want to do. I would go down to probate right away and start the process and see once what happens with it. And if you run into problems with that, you know, you can come talk to us about it. But, you know, at that point, because you don't know how to work things out through the courts yourself, you don't know how due process works, and how you might move your case from one place to another, You know, you're going to have to deal with a lawyer. You're not going to have a choice because there's no time for to say, hey, stop, wait, let me go learn how to do this stuff. I'll be back in 6 months. Of course, they're not going to wait for that. But I think they're stuck between a rock and a hard place themselves because nothing has gone through the probate yet from their perspective. They know that your mother's passed and payments are backing up. But I think you can kind of get a reset on all that. But your first step has got to be to go through the probate. I don't think you're going to have a choice at this point, as much as I hate to tell anyone to go to probate court. So, anything else, Tim? You're breaking up. Try it again. Tim, still there?
Just a moment. All right.
Tim, is there anything else?
Okay. Hear me better?
Well, go ahead. Try. You're breaking a little bit, but try. I might be able to understand.
Okay.
You.
Okay. So the... So the way try to talk to the bank and see, then they would maybe work with me to help me get the payments.
Before you try to talk to the bank, get the paperwork together, go down to probate,
okay.
Make the filing, okay, and tell them you just want to, you want them to assist you into moving the home over into your name. So that you can live in it or sell it or do whatever you have to do. And so after you start that process is when you're going to want to talk with the bank. Because you can tell the bank it's stuck in probate right now. And again, I'm sure there is a law out there or something in real estate that protects the system until probate is dealt with and finished. And everything may come to a freeze. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Real estate. So, but yeah, go get the process started. You should be able to do it in one day. Go down there and file a paper. You know, ask for assistance, and someone should assist you in probate down there. And just tell them, look, this is the only thing that was left to me, and here's the will, here's the death certificate. And I want to file whatever papers I need to file so I can take ownership. It might be that simple. It might not even have to go through much of a process. I really don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, then.
Okay. All right, Tim. All right, we'll take
next
person. Thanks, Tim. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Again, we only have one other person left in the queue, *601 if you're on a phone, or the button if you're on an app or a browser to get into the queue. Okay, Mike, you got the mic. What's your state, Mike?
Hello, was it John there? Yeah, how you doing there? I'm Mike from Michigan over. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Mike, from Michigan.
All right, sounds good. Well, I was one of the questions that gave the Jan on the state nationals. I'll get to that in a second. And that's why I'm glad you went over the whole citizen thing a few minutes ago, because that actually answered a little bit more, but I'll get a little bit more in depth. So before we continue, I'd like to say thank you for your service. I understand that you're a Navy veteran. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, I've read your bio on Amazon, and I've got a couple of your books that I got 3 weeks ago. Your Common Law Court Handbook, which is a wealth of knowledge, the one for the sheriff, and then the Common Law book with the beautiful blue picture on it. Love it. And I've been registered with you guys for about a month or so now, and yesterday became a premium subscriber, so you're getting your cup of coffee every month for $5, so there you go. And I also went ahead and paid another $125 for your class, and my goodness, what a wealth of knowledge was, because I finally got around to watching that first video you guys gave for free there on YouTube and stuff. So I watched the first video today and got that one done on law and equity and stuff, and Natural Law of the Republic there. So very informative. I'm not done, but I got a lot of stuff to go to. So again, like I said, I'm just trying to get resources, and you guys have been very helpful. So, again, I appreciate it. The question that I was, well, and by the way, I'm a Navy veteran, too, so, again, thanks for your service. Okay, so my question that I had for Jan, he came through last night on my email. I'm sure you're familiar with the guy that's named Dave Strait, and I believe he's already passed on.
Yeah.
He had this whole state national movement where you had to revoke your citizenship and become not a U.S. national, but a state national. You would get a passport, you know, if someone pulled you over, it said, do not detain. I still couldn't understand all that stuff because I couldn't understand or get it behind the back of my mind. Why would someone want to revoke their citizenship? Just like you said, they could throw them out at any time, you know? It's just, it's confusing. Are you following, or do you need more context, sir?
Well, I can respond a little bit to that, and maybe we can continue further after I respond a bit on this. I've heard of Dave Strait. I know a little bit about him. I never followed him. I know people who have followed him. I know people who have followed him and understand that it's not a good idea to get rid of their citizenship. Look, it is a very dangerous thing. I have no clue in the world why someone would want to get rid of their citizenship. I know that there are people out there teaching that if you're a citizen, that you lack certain unalienable rights, probably in the court system or something of that nature. I think that's what they talk about. You know, they talk about getting rid of your driver's license, getting rid of your Social Security card, maybe even doing something with your birth certificate, I don't know, and then leaving being a citizen. But again, our founding fathers used the word citizen 11 times altogether in the Constitution, and so they didn't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. But again, you know, we do have the problem with the Organic Act of 1871, and of course, that's null and void because it's repugnant to the Constitution. It changed everything on who we are. It overlaid a corporation over our, I guess I'll call it a trust maybe, but it overlaid it over our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and everything else. And they moved us into corporatism, and they've been working on that by incorporating every county and every state. Mm-hmm. They pretty much accomplished that. I think there's only a few counties in the whole nation that are not incorporated. But other than that, everything's pretty well incorporated. Their whole process was to move us into corporatism. Corporatism and Nazism is synonymous. And that's why they, and the Organic Act, built up, everything built upon that is null and void, which takes us to what they've done with the Rules Enabling Act, for instance, where they abrogated the law of the land, which is the natural law, and they replaced it with civil law, which is Babylonian law, the law of the city. And there's a lot to, you see, that when they constructed this whole thing, they had a lot of pieces of the puzzle that they had to install into this process, and they have already done that and completed that. But what they, it was all pre-written. They already knew the plan, but it started in 1871, and they built upon that as time went on, because they had to slowly make the change and slowly, pull the wool over the people's eyes. They had to deal with the education problem, because children were learning civics back then in 1871, and sometime in the beginning of the 20th century, you know, that was kind of being played out, and now we teach our children nothing about who we are as a people. Our children haven't got a clue. They're totally demoralized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a major, major problem that they've been working on, and there's a game going on with the word citizen, and it's only a game. The bottom line, if you were born in this nation, in this country, in any of these states, you are free and independent, you are a sovereign, and you have the unalienable rights of the Bill of Rights and much, much more. And you're under the blessings of God, ultimately, as it's written in the Declaration of Independence. So I just don't know why, what exactly they're doing to try to build this up. I think David Strait, I think he was wrong in some of his conclusions, but he did have knowledge. He had knowledge of what was going on. He understood the and again, I don't know this from studying his things. I know this from talking to people who study these things, he did understand the beginning of this whole process in the with the Organic Act of 1871, which was the beginning of the construction of a statutory prison for we the people.
Yes, sir, I agree. And like I said, that's what was brought to my attention in the last 5 or 6 years and stuff. So, I agree 100% with what you're saying. But all of a sudden, he would go down the track, well, you know, you got to repudiate this, and you got to do this. You could actually be free because you're born free from birth until they put you into that corporate construct and stuff, you know. And I get all that. But why would someone want to revoke their citizenship? Just like you just said at the beginning of this, you know, this casting here, you know, they could deport you just like that. And I mean, you know, why would you want to do that? Because here's the point that I'm getting. My family was in this country before it was a country. I'm working on a patent of nativity right now where my family goes back to 1753, I think it is, where my very first grandfather was born into this country, and their German name was spelled to an English modernized German name. They came through Philadelphia, and I've got a one of those ancestry things, and I've gotten it back that far, and I'm the seventh generation of male and our blood going down our family that's born in this country. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, because he's mentioned patent of nativity, that's a part of what you need for this, whatever it is that they need it. Because that's, like I said, I'm just trying to wrap my hat around it, and I'm not wanting to give that up because of what my forefathers have done and what they fought for in the streets of Philadelphia in the 1700s before as they're writing up this wonderful thing we call the Constitution that they've shredded all to hell, pardon my French. But anyways, you know, so we're citizens no matter what, but what you're saying is we are sovereign citizens. We are the Constitution. That's what makes it a living, breathing document and holding them accountable, correct?
Well, yeah. First of all, the foundation of our law is found in the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence was a covenant with God, where we ask God to live under his law and thereby receive his blessings and his liberties. And so that's where it all starts. We're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. Now it is referred to as the common law. And we've been under the common law for a very long time. When we were colonies, we were under the common law.
Mm-hmm.
And back in 1750, there was a lot of problems that the king was having with the people in the colonies. Benjamin Franklin was a thorn in the side of the king. Mm-hmm. And that's when they started to send out barristers, you know, the British bar lawyers, in order to move us over into a chancery system. And they succeeded in a large way. A lot of courts in the United States at the time of the Constitution being put together was already chancery courts because they had established a lot of work on that. And so that was a major, major problem. But nevertheless, the Constitution came into play, and in the preamble of the Constitution, it says, "We the people ordained and established this Constitution for them." Now, only the people are sovereign. The government that we put in place, people that we elect, people that are appointed, people that are employed by the government, they have certain powers and authorities in their position, but they are not sovereign in their positions. Once they're outside in the operating in their normal life, they are sovereign as anyone else. But they have nothing special as being a sovereign under, you know, in as far as their authorities and powers are concerned. But in the Constitution, we made it clear that the law of the land is, and the law of the land is written up as equity and law. L-A-W, standing alone. And if you go into Black's Law Dictionary or you go into Bouvier's, you'll find that law is that which proceeds according to the common law, which is natural. And so you can't change that, but they have changed that because we've been sleeping. We haven't been paying attention. We're uneducated. Even today, and I speak to myself first, we're uneducated in the process, in the problems. We don't know, you know, they've been doing things behind the scene for a long time. Now, I've corrected that in my own life, and I became knowledgeable in, of understanding these things and what they have done to a major degree. I mean, I don't know everything, of course, but to a major degree, the major things that they have done, I know what they've done. Trump knows, thank God, and he tried to take them down, and we are working diligently to take our courts back. It's a very difficult thing because they keep throwing our papers away, but see what's going to happen this next time around, and we may have to go through the process of filing other papers, going through the trial courts first, which doesn't make any sense because there is a process to go directly to the Supreme Court anyway if there is if it's a case that cannot be answered by the federal district courts, and clearly they can't answer this. But we're not even coming in from the perspective of a court case. We're coming in from the perspective of we the people through the certified United States common law grand jury, which was established in every single state in this union. So we're not just a couple of people out of New York or some other place. No, we are throughout the whole nation. Every state of this union has come together to put this together. And it took us years to do, and we accomplished that. And so we sent presentments because that's the power and the authority of the people. But again, they don't have no respect for the people. They got the guns, but we do have the Trump administration, we believe, behind us at this point. We do believe they understand what we're doing clearly. We have educated them as best we could with many papers. We've done plenty of presentments on the president for educational purposes and his administration. We've done presentments even with Congress, but that doesn't go anywhere, and the Senate. They're just totally lost. All they do is fight and never get anything done that does anything good for the people. But in any event, I think the timing is right. Things are primed. And we're starting to see the preparations for the arrest of some big name people. Mm-hmm. We're talking, the top dogs here. We're talking Obama and his administration. That's all being investigated, and there are grand juries out there already viewing this stuff. And I think we're going to see indictments and arrests, and from that, it's going to come out and pour like a tsunami. That said, that puts us into the right time to bring something before the Supreme Court. And again, if we can get, and we're going to ask, we'll send a copy of everything we do to Trump and his administration. There's about 43 people, but I don't think we're going to cover 43 people. I think we're going to maybe the main focus about 20 individuals in his administration. We also, going back into trying to educate them, we sent a copy of the book, Government by Consent, to all of these people. And we sent it to a few congressmen and a few senators also. So they do know what's really going on. I think they knew a lot of it before, but maybe they learned a few things from the book. But if anything, it hopefully, at worst case, it just... it gave them more understanding, more proof of what they already knew. So, again, we don't really know what they really knew. But I'll tell you what, Trump, I think, knows a heck of a lot more than we can realize. He knows who the enemy really is. He knows the whole thing really banks on what's going on in Britain, and because England, Britain is a problem. They are the instigators and have always been the instigators going way back. They have never lost control of the United States until Trump has become president. And that's why they tried to kill him so many times. And I've heard that there were a lot more assassination attempts on Trump than the three that we're aware of. But I don't know how true that is.
True, I can promise you that.
Well, I'm sure they have tried, yes.
Yes, they have.
So anyway, we have government by the consent of the people. Mm-hmm. We have natural law. I made the mistake of making my argument in courts referring to common law, and then it dawned on me what these lawyers were doing. You know, they called common law what's called comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, and comity is using trial court decisions, not necessarily anything on the appellate end, just the trial court decisions, and they call that common law. And that the decisions on the trial court level is just horrific. It's so it's disgusting. Because they use all the cases of people they throw out of courts and then they run them through as if they had been won, and they use those things. But anyway, look, there is a common law, there is a common law maxim. A thing similar is not necessarily the same thing. So however close they want to bring a particular court case that might be similar to the court case that I might be bringing in, it still is different. A thing similar is not necessarily the same thing. But more than that, that's not common law. And when you try to explain to these people what common law is, it's like deer in the headlights. Maybe they just don't want to understand. They do believe, they've been taught in their bar schools, they've been taught that we are under Roman law. That's what we were established under Rome, which is not true. We were established under Israel, and we were established under common law, which is natural law. And so now I realize I don't use the word in my papers anymore, common law. I use the word natural law, because you can't turn around and tell me, because I can then refer to the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature, nature's God, which is natural law, which brings us right to the Bible. He's the creator of the universe, the God of the Bible. And so the position in the court is that we're natural law, and there's no way that they can then turn around and say, well, look, at natural law is really, you know, trial court decisions, which again is referred to and called comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y. So anyway, you know, it's a battle of words. I think the timing is right. I think, well, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping to file this paper soon. We are taking anybody who wants to give us an affidavit. We set up a process for that affidavit. We only want one page. We don't need details of their case. We just, you know, just the basic information about their case and the violations that was executed upon them. In every case, you have been denied due process because you've been denied due process in a court of law. They have you in a civil law court, which is a chancery court.
Uh-huh.
That is not a court of law. And so, therefore, you've never had due process. They've denied you due process, and that's a violation of the Constitution. That's worth millions of dollars for every violation they place upon you. And that's only one of many things. But in any event, since we're talking about this, I got my anybody that can see my desktop, and if you're on a phone and you can't see the desktop, then you can watch the recording later and see the desktop. But on our front page, we have the grand jury presentment to the U.S. Supreme Court that we're preparing for, which we'll be filing up here soon. But you can watch the video. You can click on this here and watch the video concerning the grand jury's presentment to the United States Supreme Court that's in preparation right now. Most of it's pretty much written already anyway, because we had presented this, but we're going to make some changes in it and add some more affidavits. So anybody who wants to send an affidavit, we have an example affidavit that could be attached to the grand jury U.S. Supreme Court presentment that we're putting in. That'll be helpful for the case, give us some leverage. And we also ask for people to support this this filing. We put instructions. Click here for instructions in how to create the affidavit and what exactly kind of information we're looking for, and to mail it, you know, with a donation, whatever you can afford, you know, $25, $50, $100. Some people can afford more and some people not so much. But anyway, and mail it to our address that's up here, Albany Post Road in Hyde Park, New York. On the affidavit, we're just looking for people to give us basic, I'm going to take a moment just to really quickly go through this, because a lot of people aren't getting this, and maybe they're just missing, the instructions here. So the instructions, again, is on the front page. You can click, and this is one of the instructions on the filling out of the affidavit. Basically, all we need to know about your case is the case number, the name of the court, the address of the court, whether it's a civil or criminal case, when it was filed, and what the county is, who the plaintiffs are, and who the defendants are. Now, the case disposition is really just a couple of sentences. What's the status of the case in a few sentences? Then, other than that, we just need to know what violations that you've been violated. What have they denied you of? So if you read Amendment 4, for instance, and if your rights were violated, write a sample sentence of two describing the violation. You don't need anything more than to say I was denied my right of due process because they took me into a court in jurisdictions unknown, or they took me into a court that's a chancery court or a civil law court, and they didn't give me my unalienable rights of a trial by jury. I was not in a natural law court. Very simple language. You can have a Seventh Amendment violation. You can have an Eighth Amendment violation, which clearly talks about the common law. Maybe you've been denied habeas corpus. We probably have 100 people who've been denied that. That's going to be linked into this case. And maybe you've lost your home, through non-judicial foreclosures, because they can't do it through the judicial process. But they have to do it what they call, and even states that don't have a law for non-judicial foreclosures, they do it anyway, called it non-judicial foreclosures. And it just has the appearance of going through a court. It's like going to a tax court. It's the appearance of going through a court, but you really haven't gone through a court. And they just steal your house. They take it away for whether it's a mortgage foreclosure or maybe it's a tax foreclosure on your property. And we got quite a few people who've lost their homes that have attached their paperwork to us. So anybody who wants to put an affidavit in, we're asking for one-page affidavits and mail it to us and give us a few dollars to help pay the cost. All right, back to you, Mike.
All right, well, sounds good. I'm glad you covered all that stuff. And while you're on your page and stuff there, did you mention that you guys had a video on due process and stuff, a little video on that?
Well, we do have a video.
Did they violate that?
Yeah, we do have a video if you go to the front page concerning that. When you can click on watch the video concerning the grand jury's presentment to the United States Supreme Court, which deals with the due process, treason, only the people can save the republic. And basically, I'm not going to play this whole thing.
All 50 states.
Basically, you can go through it and read
lawyers
and hear what
the
case is all about, what we're doing, and how we're approaching this.
Babylonian law.
And how they have violated
us via rule
too. So many levels. I mean, they've taken away so much from us. The violations that they have violated against we the people is many times more than the violations listed in the Declaration of Independence that Jefferson wrote. It is far worse because we had it and they took it. And again, they're not in a sovereign position when they're acting within their powers and authorities, and therefore they're a government. They don't have unalienable rights. They don't have the ability to alter what we the people ordained and established. They don't have the power or the authority to dismiss the covenant that we made with God through the Declaration of Independence. They don't have any of that. So you see, everything they've really done is, and law is constructive. It's like reading the Bible. If you want to understand the Bible, because the Bible is a law book, ultimately, it's constructive, line upon line, precept upon precept, in order to come to understanding of whatever it is that God's talking about. Well, it's the same thing with law. Law is constructive, line upon line, precept upon precept. And so once you create something that is repugnant to the Constitution, the Organic Act of 1871, once you establish that, and that is repugnant to the Constitution, anything constructed upon that falls apart and is null and void collectively. And that goes all the way up the line. And that's where we're trying to pursue to do this. Now, there is the Republic Review, a guy named G.R. has been working on that for quite some time, which he's trying to move to get the states to work on coming together and do what's called a Republic Review. Not to add anything to the Constitution, not to add anything to the law, but to go in and take out and agree upon everything that is unlawful, that is repugnant, that have no power or authority for these people to have done, to have that removed from our legislators, the legislation. And hopefully, he's going to be able to get through with that stuff too. That'll be helpful. But we can hit the mark real hard just with the Organic Act, knocking that out And once that's knocked out and they acknowledge and establish, you know, that ultimately it's been treason. I mean, that's what they're guilty of, treason. So, but anyway, we'll see how it goes. We do need help.
I appreciate it very much. Say hello for a second or so, and I'll get on there and check that video out. I'll be looking at it now that I've got access to everything that I've, you know, paid my way. So, again, I appreciate it very much. So, again, thank you very much for all you do, with what the Liberty Alliance does, and Jan and everybody else. And, you know, just I appreciate it very much, because I've got a little bit of a pickle I'm dealing with right now, and I'll watch the video and I'll get back with you with more direct questions, because I'm sure that that'll answer it. So have a good night, and thank you guys very much, okay?
Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call. Okay, we're going to take our next caller. It looks like John from Michigan. John, you got the mic.
Hey, John. Another guy from Michigan. That's good. Question I got, you know, like, When you go to court, a lot of times they're saying, you know, do you understand English, whatever like that. But, you know, what they're speaking is not English. It's legalese.
Yeah, do you understand? I know.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, you know, you talk about the sovereign citizens, you know, a citizen of the United States. But you said U.S. citizen. It was really interesting, your comments were, because you said U.S. citizen. And every one of those things is different. I mean, is a U.S. citizen, for instance, different than a United States citizen? And are you a citizen of the United States or United States of America? And is it capitalized or not? And every one of those things, from my understanding, has different meanings. And so...
Well, again, that's because they make up meanings that don't apply. Like this understand thing, you know, do you understand? Do you stand under?
Stand under, right.
Game, that's fraud, and fraud makes it null and void. You know, we can try to do silly things to try to work our way around that, and we're only wasting our time and chasing our tails. Because either way, you're not going to get anywhere. No matter what you accomplish, no matter what you come to understand, and maybe you do certain things that you think that's going to give you more power as one of the people, and at the end of the day, ultimately, it gives you nothing. People just think that when they do this and they do that and they do another thing, now they're going to walk into a court, they're going to click their heels together, and they're going to be transported into a court of law, and they're going to get justice. It's not going to happen. We're up against evil. They just want us to chase our tails. They want to confuse us.
Well, I'm not disagreeing on that, but I'm just saying words have meaning, and if we're speaking English and they're speaking Spanish, we're never going to be understood. I mean, it's understood. We said it right then, you know what I mean? So,
but you take the phrase, do you understand?
And yeah, I know. I do stand under. I understand that. That's
But what it really means is, do you comprehend? Do you understand? Do you comprehend? That's the meaning, and anything more than that is fraud, because they're just playing games, word games.
They're playing games. They're playing fraud, because we're speaking English, and they're doing something else. Every one of those laws is really interesting, because they've all got definitions in the laws. You know, like a person, if you read the tax code, it talks about all the persons liable, made liable, whatever I get. But the word person... The word "person" in their tax code means an artificial person, you know, not a man or woman. If you can, go ahead.
That brings us back to fraud too. I got to agree with that. All of that is fraud. It's all mumbo jumbo. It's fraud.
But if they're holding us to that mumbo jumbo, and we don't comprehend that. Let's use a word, comprehensive, understand. You know, we're at a very disadvantaged position on the thing, you know, because they're speaking English and saying it's English, but it's Spanish. For instance, just the word synonyms, two, and two. You know, the word T-O-O, T-W-O, and the letter two or the number two. That all sounds like the same thing, and it could be meaning entirely different things. You know, how about
context?
Yeah, and lead and led is spelled the same way. One's the past tense of it. Okay. You know, you listen to some of those AI generated things on the computer, and you can tell it's computer generated because they mix up the syntax. But with that said, they're holding us to the standards of what they're.
Just said you brought that up. It's kind of a side note to what you're saying here, and I noticed this recently. You know, sometimes you'll get these people come on and they create these people saying things that they didn't say, and it looks like the. And they have other people. And what I did notice, if you see a group of people And if it's made up by AI, if you very carefully look at the faces of all these people, it's only two or three or maybe four individuals, and they duplicate the person again and again and again. Maybe they put a mustache on them. Maybe they do put a different hat on them. You know, they just make them look a little different, but it's the same face. And so you can tell that it's AI generated by that also if there's groups of people there. So, but that's just a side note to what you were talking about. But go ahead.
I'm just saying we're speaking English and they're speaking an entirely different language, and since it's they consider it their court, well, it's our court, but they consider it their court, we're dealing with their definitions of the stuff, and we don't even know what they are. It would be really interesting, for instance, if you only spoke Spanish, they would give an interpreter. You know, we should demand, say, look, you guys are speaking a different language than I am. I'm speaking the vernacular English. You're speaking something else entirely, and we're coming at this from different angles. You know, what is your jurisdiction? All those different things. We're at a distinct disadvantage, and I'm not sure where our enforcement comes on this thing. That's the other thing I'm curious about. You say no, I don't consent. It's the government by consent. I know in Michigan, for instance. Article 1, Section 1 of the Michigan Constitution says the word all, political power resides in the people. And my next question out of the hand is, so where's the rest of it go? And they're going, what? And I says, yeah, all of it's mine. It's not yours. You know, this is not your court. It's my court. I paid for it. I wrote the Constitution. My forebears did. And this state belongs to us, not to you. Where in the hell do you get off?
They're just hired help. That's all they are. And it really upsets me when I see that, because I've seen that before. And I've heard judges say, you know, not my court. This is my court. I've heard that said. And I remember with Trump when they wanted to bring some extra lawyers and they didn't have any seats left to put them in. And then one of Trump's lawyers said, well, look at there's no jury here and nobody's sitting in those seats over here. Well, let them sit. No, there's no one coming into my court to sit on these jury seats. I mean, it was insane. I can't believe it. These people actually believe what they're talking about. But you're absolutely right. Look at, this is our courts. This court ultimately belongs to we the people. We the people ordained and established. We the people, we indict or we don't indict. We the people make the judgment, guilty or innocent. We the people decide law or we decide and the facts, and we decide also the conclusion of the matter. You know, we're looking with an eye on restitution. But they don't like those things. They don't want those words. They don't want to hear that. But what we need to do, and here again is one of the problems we have. It took Trump 10 or 11 years now since he started, when he first came down that escalator, and they've been beating him up and going through all kinds of things and saying all kinds of evil and trying to kill him and doing all these things, okay? But it took 10 years or so for enough of the people to really wake up and realize what's going on. And here's the big problem in the situation. If we can get a high percentage of the people, and I think we need, we have government not by the majority, but by the majority that participates. So the people who are claimed to be conscious of things, if we can wake them up and bring them to an understanding of who we really are as a people, what our law is, what the Constitution says, what are the powers and the authorities of the people, what powers and authorities do these government agencies that we've created that they really have. I mean, well, they created the government agency. We gave them the power and the authority to create the agencies. But as far as the legislators, what powers do they really have? How far can they go? When do they overstep their authority or their powers that we've given them? Well, the people don't have a clue. And that therein is the problem. If we people knew and understood, they couldn't get away with this. And that's why we have to have a proper education in our school. That's why we have to have people to realize that, look, they really don't know anything. They don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand the law of the land. They don't understand that we're a Christian nation. They don't understand that our law comes from the Bible. They don't understand that the king of our court is Jesus Christ, and that the 12 individuals that sit there are the witnesses, just like the 12 apostles. We're the witnesses of that case of what's going on, and that is God ordained. And that's what people don't know those things. And when you don't know those things, you don't know your powers, you don't know your authorities, you don't know when they've overstepped their powers and authorities. Because I can tell you right now that at least 90%, if not more, of whatever Congress does is unlawful. They have no power, no authority to do this. They've created agencies that they have no power or authority to create. They create laws that they have no power or authority to do. They do all kinds of things. The court system has, denied the Constitution. They denied the Declaration of Independence. They reject it. They deny it. They throw you out of the courts. And they get away with it. Why? How? Well, Jefferson answered that question. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. You don't have it. You can't be ignorant and free if you don't have the knowledge. You can't be ignorant and free. You have to have the knowledge. So that's the problem. And so everybody needs to really learn what's really going on and take back their powers and authority. People don't know how to have government by consent. They have no clue. They think that all they have to do is go out and vote. Well, that's if you got a democracy, and we're not a democracy, and we're not a democratic republic, because that's an oxymoron. That's against itself. A democracy, there's two kinds of democracies. There's a true democracy where actually all of the people make a vote. Okay, then there's another kind of democracy where you elect individuals and they go in without any written requirements of what they can do and what they can't do to decide for the people. And that's what the Democrats think we have. No, we have a constitution. We're a republic. And there's not an inkling of democracy in who we are. And our founding fathers said so. You don't find the word democracy. You don't find the word democratic republic in any of our founding papers. And you don't find the word democratic republic even in the Federalist Papers. The conversations between our founding fathers, all of the letters that they've written between themselves, communicating and preparing to build this nation, you don't find that discussion anywhere. But that's what they have, and we have Republicans saying this. That word, Democrat, Republican. They're appeasing the Democrats. No, we are not a Democratic Republic. We are a Republican form of government, and the Constitution says so. But again,
Republic is res publico, which means the public thing, which is the law.
Right.
Okay, and demos and kratian is democracy, and that's, the people to rule, which is 51 is going to roll the other 49 no matter what happens on the thing. So,
right.
But, Mike was so excited, he just found out about the NLA, and it was really interesting because what he did, he got on the website, and honest to God, John, that you guys put that together. You could read and watch and do study on that thing for a year, 2 years, you never, ever, ever see all of it. And that's all the information you're talking about is right there. And all I got to do is get on the thing and start reading and start listening. And they'll find out what you're talking about.
That's
and
true.
It's repetitiveness. That's what you have to do.
They can take a complete course without even taking a course just by reading the website. You're absolutely right. I mean, we do have all these courses to make it easy, lay it out for them. We have, and most of our courses are free. The few courses that we ask people to be premium members for, that's only given us $5 a month or more. We've had people who are, such limited income, and we let them in for free because we want to give them knowledge. And if they can't afford that $5 a month or more, well, that's fine. We're more interested in educating the people than making money, although we do need money to keep the lights on. That's an important factor here. But nevertheless, it's about education. And whenever we go into courts, we have no lawyers to pay. It's all about hard costs, What it costs, the fees that they rob us, the money from us, or and the paperwork that we have to file, and whatever it costs, the print and the toner and the mailings, the servings, and all those costs. They do kind of add up, and they add up quickly, but the average case going before the United States Supreme Court is between $400,000 and $1 million. That's the average cost to take the case into the United States Supreme Court. For us, it's only going to cost us a couple of thousand. Why? Because the lawyers aren't just sucking up all the money from us and just abusing the people and becoming rich on our problems and dilemmas and pains and suffering.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty much tired of being abused. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm tired of being abused. and I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Oh, yeah, that was some movie they had down there. But I mean, I would just encourage people to get on the website and start reading it and listening to the thing. And I know I talked to a couple of younger guys the other day, and I said, you know, what's it going to take to do this? And they're mad. They're mad because they can't afford a house. They can't afford anything anymore. You know, they're working. And I says, well, all you got to do is go down to Mexico and then come across the border and declare yourself an asylum seeker. And they'll give you a phone. They'll give you money. They'll give you a hotel. They'll fly anywhere you want to go. And we've got these poor people on Social Security that can't afford food, for God's sakes. Yeah. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's just evil is taking control. Look at Prince in Power of the Air. You know, Satan rules this world. And he rules it through people because he's busy in the flesh of the people, and so people, you know, we're ruled by Satanists, really. That's who we're ruled by. When you get down to who these people actually are, that totally control everything in this world, it has always been Satan worshippers, and that's the problem. We're up against evil. You know, Trump said that if we can just get to the point where we can stop all of the leak out of all this money that's being robbed from us, just stopping that alone, we would be able to balance the budget. Just think about that.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. And I think I mentioned this to you before, dollars, you know, definition of a dollar, it's not a Federal Reserve note. A dollar is a unit of measurement for money, like an inch is a unit of measurement for distance, and a pound is a unit of measurement for weight. And when you talk about dollars, this dollar is not a thing, it's the name of a thing. And that's the hardest thing for people to think of. You know, the Spanish mill dollar, which is where a dollar came from in the 1600s, it started out as an ounce of silver. And by the time we started our country, we fashioned our dollar, silver dollar, after the Spanish mill dollar, and it wasn't an ounce anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it had been knocked down slowly from an ounce to what, three quarters of an ounce, whatever the heck it was by the time we did that. And so even then they had broken the trust in the government down slowly and slowly, and now we went and have paper dollars. And they're not paper silver, they're in fact paper. They're nothing. And we're using these things. You're gonna have a $1 trillion note pretty soon. I mean, where it goes on like they did in Zimbabwe or whatever it was. We are a billion or quadrillion or whatever they are, and it means absolutely nothing. You just put more zeros on it. There is no value there as confidence. When there's no confidence, there's no value anymore. You can't buy anything with it. But the advantage we have, just think about this, is that they've been bribing all these people with this paper, and when the paper is not worth anything, the bribe is going to disappear. And then anybody that's got anything at all, or you know, if you got substance, if you got the common law, you'll have something. And all these people are going to get lined up and shot, and they're going to, as they're getting shot, they're going to say, well, wait a minute, I'm in charge of this thing. And that happened in Russia. That happened in the Soviet Union way back in 1917, and that when they had the revolution. And exactly, if you read history, the same thing happens again and again and again. And people don't realize that, but they will. They will. I'm just, it'll be interesting to see how it comes out.
Yeah, well, like you said, I guess you would put it that a dollar is really a measurement. And would you agree with that?
Yeah. If I here's the thing. If I said, how much is that? And I said 6 quarts. You would say, quarts of what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? All right. When I say $10, the natural question to that is dollars of what? Dollars of paper? Dollars of silver? Think about that. A dollar is not a thing. It's the name of a thing. It's a descriptive adjective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, And we keep on going on this, but we naturally we're brainwashed into looking through the wrong end of the telescope. What is inflation? It just drives me nuts. I ask people, what is inflation? Well, it's rising prices. I said, no, rising prices are the result of inflation.
Yeah, it's a declining dollar.
Well, no, but yeah, it's the result of inflation. And a dollar, I mean, you think about that. If you could make Campbell's soup, right? If you took a can of Campbell's soup and you had a can of water, you'd have soup. Well, wouldn't you have twice as much soup if you put in 2 cans of water? And how about 5 gallons of water? That's what we got. We got 5 gallons of water, and we're calling it soup.
Yeah. Well, again, people are not aware of this, and therein again becomes the problem. They don't understand this whole system.
They don't comprehend. That's just it, right? They don't comprehend it. It's not. They don't understand. They don't comprehend it. And it's a word game, John. It's a word game.
And people are moving on to a different type of a money. They call it the Bitcoin. The Bitcoin is no different than Then the treasury dollar, which of course is a, you know, the really what we call it, a debt. Okay, it's no difference. It has Bitcoin has as much power and authority behind it. It has as much value behind it as the debt dollar has. There's nothing. It's supported by absolutely nothing. I can't believe that people are moving towards that, and nobody wants to make the discussion on any of this because there's no value there. So again, this just shows the ignorance that all of us are under. And again, I speak to myself first because I was ignorant to many of these things myself until I woke up through the school of hard knocks and decided to educate myself on these things. But look, at as far as the crash is concerned, we would have been crashed already if Trump didn't win the election, the first election. Even by the time we'd get to Biden, Biden never would have happened. We would have had Hillary Clinton and two terms of her, and we would go through the process that you're talking about concerning the collapse of the dollar, and you know, you'd, $1 billion would buy you a loaf of bread type of thing, you know. But we're going to have a controlled collapse. Trump understands it. He's going to make the move. He already said gold is going to kill the Fed. And the IRS is on its way out. The Federal Reserve is on its way out. Look at this. This by the time he gets to the end of his administration, the Federal Reserve is going to be gone. The tax courts will be gone. The IRS, all connected to that, will be gone. Okay. He will have brought the dollar down and then brought it over to gold and silver, which is constitutional money. He wants to move everything to the Constitution, so that would include money too. We'd go back to 20 silver dollars equal 1 ounce of gold, and that's the ratio we need to work off. And it's uninflatable. There is no inflation. And balancing the budget. And he's talking about to get paying the people dividends, okay? It's going to be a whole new world, big changes coming. And it's a shame that there's so many people that have lost themselves in the Trump derangement syndrome because they believe the lie, you know? And that's the problem.
It is. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. It's an interesting time to live. I would not want to live in a different time. Let's put it that way. A lot of people dreamed of this, okay? I mean.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. When we grew up, though, because you're close to the same age as me, when we grew up, that was a great time to grow up. Ignorance was bliss, but it wasn't that bad, and they didn't have that much control. They had a lot of control, but we didn't know about it. But it was a beautiful time to grow up, you know?
And it can be again, and it will be again. Trust me, I believe that. Okay, and nothing happens. Nothing happens without a reason behind it. I get frustrated when things aren't going the way I'm supposed to. I think they should, and I say, well, I guess I got to learn something. I'm learning a lesson, and life will keep throwing it at you. It'll keep throwing at you until you learn the lesson. Okay, and mm-hmm. So I always look. I say, what am I supposed to learn today? And I hate to give advice. I've been wrong so many times, but I can tell you what I've seen. And it's interesting times we live in. I'll leave it at that, and I'm sure there's somebody else wants to talk. But
there's nobody else in the queue. I thought there was one other person behind you, but it looks like they bailed out. So unless anybody gets into the queue, it's *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. If you're on an app or a browser, and well, let me reverse that. I'm confusing myself. *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. If you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button there to enter the queue. But, we only got about 10 more minutes, but we'll continue because there's nobody else here.
Okay.
What else, John?
Well,
hey, by the way, I'm sure I spoke with you about Sheriff Dar that he's coming on. I know you heard tonight if you were in early enough. And we sent out an email for people to start collecting questions for him. So...
Well, he's only one county up from me. I know Tar personally, so good guy. He's honest, and he calls it like he sees it. I know he's done a lot of stuff with Brent too. So, but he's been in office for about 20 years, and he's a sheriff. I'll tell you that. So
yeah, I'm impressed by him. I really am, and he's going to be pushing my book at some of the things, the event or whatever he's going to. By the way, there's another person on the line. I just unmuted him so they can join the conversation if they want to pipe anything in. You're Looks like Logan. Is that the first name? And what state you're from? 813 number.
No, it's Melanie. I'm from Florida. I really just had a question about one of your books, The Court Access and the Common Law. I was wondering if you have that book in paperback.
No, I don't. Let me just get to the picture. I mean, we'll get to the books. Which one are you looking at? Court Access and the Common Law?
Yes.
Yeah, no. I purposely did this in hardcover book for a number of reasons. Number one, because it's a book that people spend a lot of time in, and paperbacks I find, especially things that I try to get information from, and I'm in and out of it a lot, it's falling apart. So that's one of the main reasons I did a hardcover. Also, it's down at the price of getting a paperback because it's only $39.95. It's a huge book. It's about 550 pages. The pages are written in 10 font, and it's 8.5 by 11. A huge amount of information. Well, maybe this book may not be 550. I know government by consent is, but I'll tell you, Court Access in the Common Law book, I wrote that first, and I did the course second. And the course doesn't run according to the chapters because I found it didn't logically work out for me to teach people and grow them through the process of, you know, court access and how a due process works. But in the Court Access in the Common Law book, there is things in there that's not in the course. And the same thing, vice versa. There are things in the course that's not in the book. And the course is $125, but it's a 90-hour course. Far superior to the bar course, which is only 60 hours. That'll cost you close to $12,000-$13,000. It's a 5-credit course, I believe, for due process in bar school, and it is about. Let me think. What was it? I think it was $2,600 a credit. I mean, about. It could be $2,000 in some places and a little higher in other places, but let's say it's $2,500 a credit times 5. So you're looking about $12,000. And you get in a course that doesn't teach the common law, they teach the civil law. They don't teach you anything concerning the common law. But anyway, getting back to the simplicity of your question, I purposely didn't do a paperback because it's a book you're going to spend a lot of time in, and you're going to go back and forth with it. And anybody that's in court, I wrote a couple of books. This book I wrote for myself, and in that process of writing it for myself, I realized, let me put it into a book, and that is the Common Law Court Handbook, and that gives you the ability to be in the court and find things very quickly off the fly, okay, to apply in the court. So that's a really important book if you're going into the courts, and it's a handbook, so it's a pocket handbook. It's pretty inexpensive if you get the price, but let me click on it and see what the price is. I don't even remember. What are we charging? $11 for that book. A very powerful book if you're going into the courts. But anyway, if we did a paperback, it still would be close to $39 anyway, and it would fall apart on you.
It's almost like a cup of coffee at Starbucks now, so it's unbelievable what the value you're talking there.
Yeah, I know. Well, again, we want to make everything as cheap as possible because our purpose is to educate the people to save the republic. Only the people can save the republic, and that's the key to what we're doing here. And the only way people can save the republic is through education. And so people need to be buckling down to spend some time, a few hours a week, an hour a day, or whatever the case, whatever they can afford, to get educated, to get re-educated, to get the education you didn't get in school, that you should have had. It's a Jeffersonian education. And we need to get into our schools so when our children get out of school, they should be able to walk into a court of law. They wouldn't need a bar attorney. They wouldn't need an attorney at all. They'd be able to walk into a courtroom and take care of their business, take care of all of their legal business. They'd be able to exercise their unalienable right of government by consent because they should know how to do that. What kind of power and authority do people really do have? We have extreme amount of power, but we can only have that power if we come together. And now you come together in the committees of safety, which is what we teach also. So, again, But what did you say?
I would I would encourage everybody to buy the book and figure out what the value is, and then send the extra value back as a donation. How's that sound? Because there's a lot of value right there.
Well, yeah, a book like that, a lot of people are selling 70, 80, 90, even 100, and even more dollars, you know, because of, you know, the amount of information in it to begin with, you know. It's just an extreme amount of information. But, you know, someone was talking, I meant to bring this up earlier, about something with the sheriff. Look, everybody should send their sheriff a copy of the book, Government by Consent. And at least, at bare minimum, County Sheriff Common Law Handbook, they should send them that. Sheriff Darr, I had a conversation with him recently, and we were talking about my book, and he really wanted to push this book because it gives a lot of the knowledge of what the people need and what the sheriffs need and what everybody needs. We have a whole chapter in here on sheriffs and their powers and their authorities, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, the woman that's in here, what was your first name again?
Melanie.
Melanie. Hey, Melanie, you got anything else, a question or a comment more?
Yeah, I have the book, but my father is in jail, and he's been trying to get a hold of a copy of your book, but they don't allow, like, hardcovers. Is there a way that, like, I could get, like...
What you could do is take the book and remove the hardcover, and the page numbers are on it. I don't know whether they'll allow a clip to clip it together. But that's one way you could... Well, you know what you could do? Again, if you take a razor blade and come along the back of the book, right where, you know, the backing is, and come down and then take it down to Staples or Office Max or someplace like that, and they might be able to bind it together with a soft cover. So that's another way to... And as a matter of fact, I would suggest to take... Let them cut the book, because they would know more of where they'd be able to... make that slit, and I think they should be able to do it. Any kind of a good copy place. I think Staples can do it.
Okay, thank you.
Might be helpful. All right. Oh, one other thing. Yes, there is my original book is in a soft cover, paperback. And that was, goodness, what was the name? Dorrance Publishing. So if you go up to Dorrance Publishing, just Google that, and then put in... Government by Consent by John Duresh, and you will... Oh, you're looking for court access, not
yes.
Government consent. Oh, okay, yeah, that's different. But what I would definitely do would be helpful is that $10 book, okay? The handbook would be something pretty powerful. But, yeah, I don't have that one in a paperback. In the paperback that they're charging at Dorrance, I think is $49.95. They're actually $10 more. I didn't have any ability to decide what the price of that book would be. The publisher made that decision. I wasn't happy with it because I wanted to sell it cheaper.
Okay, well, the price is fine. So you said which book?
Oh, a really good book. It's a soft cover. It's a pocket handbook. And it gives a lot of knowledge, and that is the Common Law Court Handbook right here. Okay, that's a pretty powerful book. You can get a lot of information off the fly. It's 311 pages. It's a paperback, again, pocket size. So you can look into that. But, you know, as far as what, you know, he might be looking for is the court access, how to write papers and get the forms and the different things.
Yes.
Box works. Well, that would be the court access. Let me ask you, let me think about this. Does he have access to the Internet?
I think he does, yes.
Because if he has access to the Internet, he could take the course online if you were to get the information with him and get it to Jan. Then Jan can set it up where he doesn't have to pay anything and get into the course. You know, a course costs $125, but we'll give it to him for free if he can get access online. And then he could learn the whole course. It's and you got all the paperwork that you can download, all the forms, everything you need is in there. Now, that other book does give you some more information that I didn't have in the course, and vice versa also. So if you can do the other thing also and take it down to Staples, have them bind it. Well, the other thing also, you know, they have these, I don't know how that would work. It wouldn't work very well now. I think that they can do a paperback binding. And if not, they could probably refer you to where you could take it to get a paperback binding of it.
Okay.
Let me just take a quick look. Hang on a second. Let me pull one of these books out and see once. Yeah, you could take a razor blade and take the front cover, hard cover off, and the back hard cover off, but you still would have the side that's gummed up. That's hard. I don't know whether they would permit that.
Like I say, you could cut it and have them, and just put it in a ring binder. They'll punch holes in it, put it in a ring binder. You probably do that.
Well, yeah, they do have soft wing ring binder, so maybe that will do it. That's a good idea, John. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to take the book down to them and see once what they could do. Explain the situation and what you're trying to do. And again, if they can't help you, they might be able to steer you towards someone who can help you.
One thing about that, if he's in jail, he's got a lot of time to read, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get him a Bible.
Tell him good luck and Godspeed, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you both.
Mm-hmm. All right, Melanie. All right, anything final, John, because we're about to shut down.
Not that I know of. I just get it. Tell everybody about Dar and listen in on him. Like he's known him for a while, good friend, good man. So a lot of knowledge there.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a hold of Brent. I called his phone number. I don't know if you have his number, but I called his number, and I left a message on the message machine, but there was a name on it that I didn't recognize that answered the phone, a female. I don't know if it's maybe his secretary or his wife or someone, but I don't. Do you know if Brent changed his phone number? Because I'd like to get him to come on and talk for an hour or two.
I'll ask Dar. I'm going to see Dar. I'll ask Dar, and he may have Brent's number because I know he's done a bunch of different things with him on the radio, on the phone, on the computer. So yeah.
When we lost Skype, I lost everything because I had all that information about everybody, you know, in Skype, and it all got lost. So I know I had a couple of numbers by him, but the number in my phone was supposed to be his cell phone. So again, I don't know.
I'll see if I can find it for you, but yeah, just keep telling people about Dar. I'd love to have a bunch of people talking to him about this. And
absolutely, we'll be getting that message out every Monday from now until the time he comes on that he's coming on, looking for people to give us questions, and we'll alert them on what day he's coming when we know it, and I'll probably send an additional message out here or there with more details when we get close.
Well, Michigan is a big state. I was excited to hear Mike. He's a lot of enthusiasm. So maybe he's close to me too. I'm in Southwest Michigan, but it'd be interesting to get a hold of him too. So, but hey, thank you. And I get up morning 5 o'clock, so I gotta get going. So.
Okay. All right. Godspeed. Talk to you later. Good
thank
night,
you.
Everybody. Thanks for coming in. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And again, a Bible study is on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in this room. Anybody interested? And the subject for this coming Wednesday is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, especially as the day draws nigh. Good night, everybody.